And thank you for worshiping with us today. Some of you may be familiar with the theme of Christmas in July. Some may not be and sort of wondering, why are we doing this? Well, besides that, we've just finished Vacation Bible School. We begin Helping Hands tonight. Finance is working on next year's ministry budget, and we're all preparing for the Christmas Bazaar which we do every other year. So, you know, right now, most of us are thinking more about lounging at the pool, you know, or visiting family, or having family come in, or kids going to camp or college, or vacation. I mean, things like shopping for Christmas gifts, adorning, baking, those are the last things on our minds. We're more inclined to look at the stars in the night sky at the beach than we are to think about looking for the star of Bethlehem. And that's exactly the point. I selected this because it's a great time to focus on the reason for Jesus' birth without all the trappings of the holiday that all of us like, that take over our society every December and November, and even before the Halloween decor is put away, right? In July, we can focus just on the coming of the Christ child, the true meaning of Christmas, what he means to us and to our world, and to remember why we do what we do and why we're here. I decided earlier this year not to go whole hog with the adornings and the manger and the chrismon tree, but I hope you like our message this morning. I hope that you like singing carols. I want to thank Rudy for his Advent and Christmas selections, for his meditation and offering this morning. I want to thank Steve Weick, who sang O Holy Night at our 8:30 service. And I want to thank the choir for their anthem as well. That God so loved the world, his only son he gave, that we show the love of God each day we live. We reveal Christ's presence in our world. Thank you, choir. Sherry and I celebrated our anniversary last week. And as we were talking about things, I thought later, and I thought, you know, when we were dating, you know, that voice goes on inside my head one night that says, you better marry this lady. Get this lady into your world. And it reminded me that an angel came from heaven to earth to Joseph in his bedroom to say, Joseph, marry this woman. Don't be afraid. She'll give birth to the Messiah. And his name will be called Emmanuel. And he shall save his people from their sins. See, God loves you so much that he sent his only son into the world. This world. Your world. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. In the Imperial War Museum North in London hangs a painting of a soldier lying on the battlefield. He's grasping two ends of a communication line and he's splicing them together. The title of the painting is Through. In the birth of Jesus, God gets through to us by repairing the broken relationship between God and humanity. Jesus did that for us, and the Holy Spirit keeps that line repaired to empower his church and us. Jesus also came to rescue you. That was the theme of our Bible school this year, wasn't it? That Jesus rescues. Heard a story one time about a closing time at the shopping mall, and a security guard discovered two children crying because they had become separated from their parents. And the officer asked them for their home address or for their phone number, and they couldn't talk through all of their tears. Just then a white-whiskered fellow in a familiar red coat rounded the corner and said, "Can I help?" And the tears stopped. As the children ran up and grabbed a furry sleeve, they said, "Here's Santa. He knows where we live." But there are some people who have lost their way. And they don't know the way back home. You know, Sharon, I have people in our families who seem to be separated from their heavenly parent. Maybe you do too. And talking with family members about spiritual things can be a very sensitive thing. It's not always an easy thing. I'm not being judgmental. You know, we love our families. And it can be hard to talk about spiritual things, even with those that you love the most and care the most about. The good news is that Jesus came to be our Redeemer. He came to be our rescuer. He's our Savior. He is the way home, and He is home. And I believe that's a major reason why we're here and why the church exists. So let's continue to approach people in a friendly way, with loving care, with deep humility, with attentiveness. You know, God used the prophets and the angels and the shepherds to tell the world about Jesus, that He was coming into their world. Now we're the messengers. Now we're the ambassadors. Joke is told about a birthday party. At a birthday party, it came time to serve the cake, and a boy blurted out, "I want the biggest piece." And his mother quickly scolded him. Said, "Son, it's not polite to ask for the biggest piece." And the boy looked at her and said, "Well, then how do you get it?" You know, how do we tell the world? How do we share with others what is important in our lives and in our heart? In a world of political unrest and economic instability, where some of the most acid violence and hatred and harsh words are coming from religious people, people of many religions. You know, what can we do? Well, I think that we can use our words and we can use our deeds to show our love for Christ. We can affirm the yesness of God. The yesness of God. When we affirm the yesness of God, the badness of society has to step down. We'll have to deal with Herods and Hitlers and Idi Amins and Bin Ladens. But in Jesus, we believe that good and right will win over evil and wrong. As Longfellow put it in his carol, the wrong shall fail and the right prevail, with peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And then we also keep moving forward. In a churchyard in Switzerland is a gravestone of a man who perished in an alpine accident. And on the gravestone are these words: "He died climbing." That's all. He died ascending, reaching upward, improving, moving forward. So may we all. And we look for signs that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, in society, in the church, in our world. You know, the movie Flags of Our Fathers tells the story about the two flags flown over Iwo Jima. It's not a movie for young children. There's a lot of violence and much too much bad language. But adults can appreciate Clint Eastwood's direction. And I didn't know there was more than one flag. Both flags are at the National Museum of the Marine Corps near Quantico. I saw them both a few months ago. You know, there's an old saying that when opportunity knocks, we fly one of two flags. We either choose to raise the minus sign, and we view everything negatively and with a long face and a long spirit, or we can raise the plus sign the sign of the cross. And we can respond in ways that look and act and sound like Jesus. The Christian flag has a plus sign on it, has the sign of the cross. That's why it's in our sanctuary. Let's raise the plus sign. Let's act in humility and love towards one another, towards our neighbor. Let's look for signs that God is moving and working in the world. I want to close with this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was preached among you by Silas, Timothy, and myself, is not one who is yes and no. On the contrary, he is God's yes. For it is he who is the yes to all of God's promises. Let's take a moment of silence and think about these things and let the Holy Spirit speak. And as you think about these things, ask yourself, am I reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? Am I moving forward in my Christian life? Holy Spirit, take the words of Scripture, the words of this message, Lord, the intent behind it, to continue your work in our lives, individually and corporately as your church. And give us grace, Lord, to celebrate the birth of your coming throughout the year, and then especially as we move towards the end of the year. It's through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.